Let's pray once more as we open our heart to the word of the Lord tonight. Father, we just thank you for this time that we have together with you in your presence, Lord. Thank you, Father, that you are so faithful, Lord, to meet us here, but Lord, also to speak to us. I ask you, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you would speak into each heart and life tonight. Oh, Father, I pray that we would leave here different than we came. And Father, that we would be set on a course forever, for the rest of our life. Lord, I believe that you can do such a thing in such a service tonight. And I believe you and I ask you for it in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, since the very beginning, the Lord has wanted a relationship with his people. Not the kind of relationship where you talk to him once in a while. It's one of these weird religious things. It is part of the religious culture of the day that, well, you know, we're all children of God, so we all have a relationship with him. And they even give the example sometimes. They say, well, you know, maybe I haven't talked to my earthly father in 10 years, but he's still my father. I want to just clear something up for you. That's not the kind of relationship that God wants with you. In fact, he says very clearly when somebody is in that condition, he calls them lost. Some of you just thinking too hard because I didn't get very many amens out of that. But I'm just telling you, that's what he calls them. He says they're lost. They're not where they need to be. And he really wants a close relationship with every one of us. Since the very beginning, he has wanted to walk with us and talk with us. You know, even after Adam and Eve fell, the Bible tells us that God comes walking in the garden. See, he already knew they fell, all right? He already knew that they had disobeyed, that they had blown it. And yet he comes in the garden walking in the cool of the day because he wants to talk with them about it. Genesis 3, 8 through 10, and they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden. I wonder what that sounded like. In the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And then the Lord God called to Adam and said, "Where are you?" So he said, "I heard your voice in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." And I think that that is one of the funniest stories of the Bible. At least this part, that they are hiding from God in the bushes. There's a lot of people hiding from God. They hide from God in a busy life. They hide from God behind all their problems. They hide from God behind a whole myriad of excuses. But the Lord knows exactly where they are. Just like he knew where Adam and Eve were. It's so funny to me how people abuse the scripture. And they say, well, God said, "Where are you?" That means he didn't know where they were. He knew exactly where they were. And he knows where we are. They tell me that when I was 3 years old, one day, I hid in the bushes. And my mom and dad began to search for me and look for me. They got all the neighbors looking for me. They were running around saying, "Mark, Mark." And finally, my dad found me in the bushes. And he frantically says, "Mark, why didn't you answer me?" And I said, I did. I said, here I am, Daddy. Now, I don't know what was going on in that three-year-old mind. I have no recollection of the event, but I would imagine that somehow to a three-year-old it was just a kind of a game of hide and seek. But I'm telling you that this is no game, that your Heavenly Father loves you and He wants a relationship with you every day. He wants to walk with you and talk with you. So I'm going to talk to you tonight about walking with God. There's two men in the Bible that the Bible says specifically that they walked with God. It's Enoch and Noah. And it speaks of a relationship, a fellowship, a friendship, a closeness that is available to us through our Lord Jesus Christ, to every one of us. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, we can have a real relationship with the Heavenly Father and be close to Him every day. I want to just look at Enoch's story. Genesis 5, 21 through 24 tells us, Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And after he begat Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years. That's a long time to walk with God. And had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Now, this is an amazing thing. One day, God just said, I like you a lot. I want you right here with me. What does that mean to walk with God? I'm sure there's some deep theological things there, but we just need to be sure we don't miss the simple and obvious truths. First, it means to know God personally. If you're going to walk with God, it certainly means that you know Him. It is not a second-hand religion. It's not just something that you heard from a pulpit or that you inherited in your family. But if you walk with God, it means that you yourself know Him. I love these verses from Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24. It says, this is what the Lord says. Let not the wise man boast of his wisdom, or the strong man boast of his strength, or the rich man boast of his riches, but let him who boasts boast about this, that he understands and he knows me. Here's the one thing that we ought to be bragging about. The only thing we ought to be bragging about. Even if you got grandkids, I'm just telling you, this is the only thing that you really ought to be bragging about. That you know the Lord. If you're going to walk with God, first and foremost, it is a personal relationship that you know Him personally. Second, walking with God simply means that you're in the presence of God, that you're living in the presence of God, that you are ever aware of Him. I mean, if He's walking with you, then He's with you. His presence is right there. Psalm 139, the psalmist says it very well for us. He says, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down, my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. There's not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. See, the psalmist understood that God was with him everywhere he went. No matter what the situation, he was always aware of the Lord's presence. There are different degrees of the Lord's presence. This is very obvious in Scripture, because there is the omnipresence of God, that God is everywhere. But there are also those special manifest times of the presence of God, like when Jacob wakes up from his dream of the angels of God ascending and descending upon a ladder, and he says, "Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not." I didn't realize it. And there's a manifest presence of God that is available when two or three gather in his name, and he is there in the midst of them. There's something special. And I'm just telling you that when you really walk with God, it's not just that, well, God is everywhere. No, it's that he's with me. He's walking with me. Third, walking with God implies a fellowship with him in thought, in word, in deed. We can't walk with him if we don't talk with him. We can't walk with him if we don't listen to him. We can't walk with him if we don't live in obedience to him. I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm saying. None of us can say that we are without sin. All of us make mistakes. All of us need the blood of Jesus. But here's another lying deception in the religious culture of America, is that it doesn't matter how you live. That's not what the Bible says. It's not what the Bible teaches. No, it is a deception of Satan to keep us from the fellowship that our Father wants to have with us. 1 John 1:6 is just one of many, many verses, but he says, "If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth." You see, there's a difference in us making a mistake. There's a difference in us sinning and being willfully, continually disobedient, to just not, to refuse to serve God, to refuse to obey the Scripture, to refuse what our Father asks of us. See, if we walk in darkness, we're not in fellowship with him. Now, to walk with God is to live your life in an awareness of his presence, a consciousness of fellowship with him, a real and constant companionship with him. And it is to know him intimately and personally. And I believe that that is what God wants with every one of us. That is what God wants with you. He wants to be with you 24/7. When you wake up in the morning, just like the psalmist said, when you wake up in the morning, there you are, Lord. You put your head on the pillow at night, there you are, Lord. He's there. When you wake up at 3, he's still there. He's with you all throughout your day. When you're driving down the road, I believe this, if you walk with the Lord, well, you drive with the Lord. He's with you all the time. Oh, how we need that kind of relationship with our Father. So how can we really walk with God? This is simple, but first and foremost, it has to be by faith. We don't come to him on our own merits or our own righteousness. We come by faith in the blood of Jesus Christ, that he paid the price, that he made the way. Hebrews 10:19 through 22 says, "Brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, a new and living way which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, listen now, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. See, we can't allow past sins to keep us from the fellowship that Jesus Christ died to bring to us. By his blood, he opened this new and living way for us. And you know, he talks about this guilty conscience. I'm just telling you, you got to decide that Jesus' blood was enough, that the blood of Jesus was valuable enough to pay the price for all of your sin. And when you do that, you draw near with a true heart, a sincere heart. You see, this is no license for sin. No, this is for those who truly want to be close to God. And he tells us, draw near. What an amazing thing that he has done for us. It's up to us to draw near. You got to want to, but you can. In fact, in James, he says, if we draw near to God, he'll draw near to us. Enoch's story is also talked about in Hebrews 11, 5 and 6. It says, by faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Enoch walked with God by faith. It pleased God. Now I want to tell you that if you're going to walk with God, you're going to do so by faith in the blood of Jesus. You're going to do so by faith, whether you see him or feel him, and times maybe you don't even hear him, but you walk with him by faith, and it pleases God. And he says, you must believe that he is. Do you believe that he is? See, when he says, I am, Moses says, who will I say sent me? I am. That means he is. He's the very real and present God. He's not just the God of the past, the God of the future. He is the God of right here, right now. I am. And that means that he can be with us every moment of every day. He is. He's with us. You must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. One of the greatest deceptions of Satan is that it doesn't matter if you serve God. You see, we all have trials of faith. We all have times where our faith is tested. James says, count it all joy. It's not easy to do, but you got to know that the trying of your faith works perseverance, and that perseverance will bring about you being complete, not lacking anything. But you need to understand this, that a lot of the time when our faith is being tried, you see, between the praying and believing we receive and seeing the manifestation, a lot of the time the enemy comes along and he starts trying to cast those seeds of doubt in your mind, saying, what good does it do for you to serve the Lord? Well, you're serving the Lord, but look things aren't working out for you. This is really important. You got to believe that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And see, since the very beginning of time, the enemy of our soul has been trying to get people to think that God has let them down, or that God was holding something good back from them, that God was not going to keep his word. And I'm telling you, he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You know, it's interesting in this very passage, he's talking about Enoch who pleased God by his faith. And listen, Enoch had quite the reward. Now, he sought him 300 years. That's diligent. That's walking with God. 300 years. But what a reward. He never saw death. He just went to be with his father. Wow, that's an amazing thing. And I don't know what reward you or I might have as we walk with God, but I know this. He rewards those who diligently seek him. Don't ever listen to the enemy. Don't ever buy into that lie. No, there's a reward coming for those that diligently seek him. Faithfulness, diligence, it's always rewarded with God. It's by faith. Second, we walk with God by choice. It doesn't happen accidentally. No, it's going to happen because you choose to walk with him every day. And when I say you choose to walk with him, I mean that quite literally. You choose to walk with him. Because he's not going to go your way. I'm not talking about physical location. You understand what I'm talking about? We're not talking about, well, you mean if I go to the bank, the Lord's not going to go with me? That's not what I'm talking about. Listen, walking with the Lord is not about just going for a walk, okay? We're not talking about physical location. We're talking about something much deeper, more intimate than that. And if you're going to walk with God, I'm telling you, it's going to have to be you choosing to go God's way, to do things the Lord's way. It's you choosing to be in agreement with him. See, this whole idea that, well, you know, I can be close to God even though, you know, we don't get along. We don't agree about some things, but, you know, I'm tight with God. No, you're not. If you want to walk with God, you want to get in agreement with him. You got a verse for that, Pastor? You know I do. Amos 3:3, can two walk together unless they be agreed? I'm telling you, you can't walk with God unless you're going to get in agreement with him and go his way. Walk his way. Because let me tell you something. You ever known somebody that was really, 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 really bullheaded? They just wouldn't change. He says, I, the Lord, change not. And he's not going to change. You are. And as we walk with him, oh, it ought to be the most life-changing experience every day. That every day we just get to be a little bit more like him. Every day as we walk with him, we're learning how to be more like him. He's not going to come around to your way of thinking, your way of doing things. Now, if you want to walk with God, you got to be teachable. You got to learn his ways. You got to see things his way. 1 John 2:6 says, whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. I said this already, none of us is above sin. None of us has reached the place that we can say that we're above that or without fault in some way. But the point here is that as we walk with God, we got to choose to live for God. Here's a passage that's seldom read and quoted today, 2 Corinthians 6:16 through 18. It says, what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. And as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. You see, he wants a people that love him with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength. He wants to dwell in us and walk among us. He's given us his Holy Spirit that we might be the temple of the Holy Spirit. We got to be willing to lay aside worldly things. We might, if you want to really walk with God, I'll just tell you straight up, there are going to be some activities and some things in this world that you're going to have to say, you know what, that's not right. I'm not doing that. I've made a lot of mistakes in my life and done a lot of wrong things. So please don't think I'm patting myself on the back here too hard. But I remember when I was about 19 years old and I was with a bunch of friends from church, a bunch of all spirit-filled, tongue-talking friends, you know, the right kind of friends. And we were going to go to a movie, and they said, well, we want to go to this movie. And I knew that it had some things in it that were ungodly. I think it had some nudity in it or something. You know, it was PG, but it still had some bad things in it. And it really bothered me. And so I said to him, I said, well, here we are standing outside the theater. And I said, could we just pray about it? And we joined hands and we prayed. And when we were done, they all just kind of went, let's go. And we left and went somewhere else. But my point is just simply this, that if we're really going to walk with God and fellowship with him and we're walking and talking with the Lord, I'm just saying there's some times and some places and some things that you're going to have to avoid because you want to walk with God. And the danger of this religious culture that says, oh, it don't matter, God will just watch it with me. Holy God. They don't even know him. They've deceived themselves that they do, but they don't even know him. It's interesting, just a few verses before he tells us, come out from among them and be separate, touch not what is unclean, is where he tells us, at 2 Corinthians 5:21, he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You see, he made us, listen, he doesn't just stamp righteous on us, he makes us righteous. I don't have time to teach on that tonight, but I'm just telling you, he didn't just take a dirty bottle of water and slap clean on it. No, he cleaned us. Third, to walk with him is to have a closeness in our relationship with him, to fellowship with him every day throughout the day. That's walking with the Lord. You know, when somebody says, let's go for a walk, what does that mean? It means they want to talk to you, or at least they want to be with you. Sometimes when you go for a walk with someone, you discuss a particular issue, and sometimes you talk about decisions or problems, and sometimes you talk about hopes and dreams, and sometimes you just hold hands, and sometimes you just be together. When we walk with God, it's not that we are literally going for a walk. As I said earlier, you might be driving down the road. You might be laying in your bed, unable to sleep. But we talk with Him about life and decisions and problems and issues of the heart. We listen to Him. And sometimes we just be with Him. And it pleases Him as He created us for that relationship, to walk with Him and talk with Him. It should be our greatest joy to spend time with the Lord. You know, walking with the Lord is a 24/7 thing. It's an all-day thing. But I know this, that it won't happen if you never have time for just you and the Lord. Even the Lord Jesus, who was God in the flesh, frequently went out to a solitary place to pray. He sought that closeness, that fellowship, that time alone with His Father. It should be our greatest joy. So I want to talk about prayer for just a minute. If we make it a religious duty, there's no joy. But if we make it the priority of our life that we want to be with our Father, if we look at it not as a duty but as an opportunity to be with God, the Bible says in His presence there's fullness of joy. At His right hand there are pleasures evermore. We lose the joy when the emphasis is on the act of prayer instead of on the relationship with our Father. That we're just talking to our Father. We're spending time with Him. You know, for many people, prayer becomes just another burden in their life. But rather, we should see it as where all of our burdens are lifted. That burden, prayer is not some heavy thing for us, but it is where we are freest, where we are able to let go of all of the cares and the burdens and the weights of life. We can't let it become a faithless ritual. We're not praying just because, you know, the pastor said we're supposed to. There's no joy in that. And so many people pray and don't really believe that it makes a difference. But Jesus said, whatever you ask in My name. And He said that your joy will be full. And I'm just telling you, it is a joyful thing when you can talk to a Heavenly Father that you know that He hears you, and that you know that He cares. To live a Christian life without prayer, it just doesn't work. It's all about this relationship with their Heavenly Father. A great pianist said, if I miss my piano practice one day, I know it. If I miss practice 2 days, my friends know it. If I miss 3 days, the whole world knows it. I don't think that's really true, especially nowadays. I don't think people have a musical enough ear to know that. But the point of the story is that when we miss our time with God, when we're not really spending time with God, we know And if we miss it for very long, those that are close to us know something ain't right. And if we miss it for much longer, well, the people at the restaurant know. And maybe even people at church start seeing. Listen, we can still smile and we can still put on the show and we can still act, but I'm just telling you, if we're not spending time with our Father, it shows. So my challenge to you tonight is to walk with God, to walk and talk with Him, to make it the priority, the goal, to make it, listen, not the duty, but the joy of your life, to every day walk with Him. Oh, I'm telling you, you want to see God do great things in our generation? What if He had a people who were walking with Him every day? That's the way it's supposed to be. Well, I'm kind of counting on people not having as much of a musical ear tonight because I'm going to sing a little bit. But y'all are going to help me. Y'all remember this old song? I come to the garden. Some of you do, some of you don't. That's all right, but if you know it, you sing it with me. I'll drag Josh up here. I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me I am His own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. He speaks, and the sound of His voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing, and the melody that He gave to me within my heart is ringing. And He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me I am His own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. I believe that. That's available to us every day. Every day. And I think more than anything else, what our Father wants is for us to walk with Him. And I think more than anything else, the enemy of your soul wants to busy you, wants to distract you, wants to discourage you, wants to keep you from this. But Jesus stands at the door and knocks. He says, if any man hear my voice and opens the door, I will come in and dine with him and he with me. I want you to stand with me. We're just going to close this service with prayer. And if you need special prayer, I'd be glad to pray with you. I also just want to just say this. If you want to stay here and just spend some time in prayer, you can find a place at the front here and pray, or you can stay there in your seat. But if you just need a few minutes with the Lord tonight, I encourage you to take that time and begin a real journey to walk with Him every day. Father, I just thank You that You love us so much that You want to be with us. What an amazing thing that You have done through the Lord Jesus Christ, oh, to restore us to Yourself. And Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, I pray, Father, oh, that the Holy Spirit would draw us, that the Holy Spirit would woo us, that the Holy Spirit would remind us of this truth again and again and again. Lord, that we will not be neglectful, but we will seek, we will find this greatest joy. And I thank you for it, Father. Do a work in us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.